Good evening. This is Robert Wilson with Cowboy Wisdom Radio, and I'm late because I was late getting home today. And Carly Thorne is my guest. Carly, on the line?
Hi,
oh,
how
Carly?
Are you? I'm here. Yes, I'm here.
Late. I apologize. I had car trouble getting home. Anyway, Carly Thorne is my guest, and Carly is a speaker, coach, and an author of many books, and her website is CarlyAlysiaThorne.com. It's CarlyAlysiaThorne.com. And Carly, would you please give people a little detail about how you do things and what makes you unique in your coaching and business style?
Sure, absolutely. So basically, I've had a varied interest in the multisensory. So my whole life has been balanced between the Western and Eastern world. So I've spent 25 years literally dabbling in Western medicine because I myself have had 35 surgeries. So because of that, I literally had to study Western medicine. And then when I almost died several times, I literally started really wanting to know about the mind, body, spirit interconnection. And so I studied very heavily Eastern philosophies. And so I paralleled both those paths for 25 years. And obviously I was also a businesswoman. So I really started incorporating a lot of the philosophies and Eastern styles and started studying Feng Shui, and I really started realizing that a lot of the Eastern philosophies and the organizational skills really had a very big impact in business. And so I started actually starting all the different archetypes, and I started studying a lot of psychology modalities and NLP, neurolinguistics, and really start seeing how all those things started really applying into business and language and communication, which is a part of neurolinguistics and the organizational philosophies, and also color and our senses, and how all that really was very much tied into business. And so my business work that I do is a lot of consulting with businesses on organizational and psychology, and I basically integrate Eastern and Western philosophies into businesses. I do a lot of stuff, though, however, in the entertainment business, and I do a lot of work with authors and speakers, and I don't do it from a woo-woo place. I really do it from a grounded, applicable place. A lot of people, we have a tendency in this world to speak a lot of woo-woo language, and I'm not putting that down. Some people are very much spiritual, and there's nothing wrong with that. However, we also have to meet people where they're at, and some people don't like that type of language. So I really have to be able, because I'm dealing a lot with lawyers and business people, I have to be able to take that spiritual language or that spiritual knowledge or that type of philosophy and put it in the language that can be understood and used in a very business practical way. So that's how I just do it from a very different place. It's still very spiritual and very, it still has those principalities. It's just basically done from a very different place. So it's just, you have to meet people where they're at. So not everybody wants to hear that type of language or, it just has to be from a very, very grounded place. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, but people get, also when it comes time to expanding their life, if you ain't meeting them where they're at, they get scared or fearful, become afraid to have a conversation with you also, don't you feel?
Well, yeah, it's kind of like if you're Catholic and you pray and you read the Bible, that's wonderful, except you can't shove a Bible down someone's throat, you know what I'm saying? You can't go, just pray, and it'll all be, you'll be fine. Right. You know what I'm saying? Someone has to be open to that for someone to hear that conversation. You have to be able to wield that into a conversation that someone's open to that. So there's nothing wrong with spirituality. There's nothing wrong with going to church. There's nothing wrong with praying. And if you're going to have those types of conversations with people, you have to do it in a way that someone can hear that. So it's the same thing with the type of work that I do. If I'm talking about feng shui, I may not be able to use the words feng shui when I'm talking about energy or organizational management that are feng shui principles. I have to use different language that someone can hear what I'm saying, right? So I may be using the same principles that are feng shui and are energy orientation and talking about plants and, you know, different things and why I put things in certain places or why we're doing certain things. I just may not be using that exact same language.
And that is very true. And also, but you also have some books. There's one out there, The Straight Talk About Social Media. Tell people about that. That one caught my attention.
Well, you know, social media, we have to realize that most people don't get that we are our brand. Whether you like it or not, you are your brand. A lot of people will come up with a business and they'll come up with a name for their business. At the end of the day, whether your business is X, Y, and Z, you are the person behind your brand, and you are what people are buying. They're not necessarily buying the widget. They're buying you because you're the person that's behind the brand. And so, and social media is huge. Social media is everything. We live in a world where people are really buying literally semi-reality, if you will. Every little soundbite people are looking at. People really are looking at and wanting to know. People are curious creatures. And I know people are like, oh, I don't really give a, you know, they don't really care what you're eating. They don't really care what you're wearing. They don't want to know who you're dating. Well, the reality is people are curious creatures. And when you post things on social media that are inappropriate and you're ranting and raving about politics, Donald Trump and Clinton, and having heated discussions about that, and you're ranting and raving about whether you're, you know, you're Republican or you're Democratic, that really does affect your brand because, again, you are your brand. And I don't think people realize there's three things you never want to post on social media. That is religion, anything that's overtly sexual, and politics. Take it off of social media. Take it in your home. Do you want to have a heated discussion about politics? Do it at your family table. You know, it's, and another huge one is jokes. You have to understand that social media is global. What I may think is cute and funny, someone in a third world country or someone that, by the way, is gender fluid or male or female may not find that joke funny. They may find it very offensive, and you're going to lose a huge population of your social media, you know, whatever, your following. The point is there's certain things we don't realize that whether you know it or not, whether it's, how can I put this? Legal or not, when they say that businesses can't look at your social media, they're still looking. Because you have to understand, you represent them. If someone's hired you to do a job, they are going to look at your social media because they want to know what you stand for, what you're doing, because at the end of the day, you still represent them. If you're in any sort of way a public eye, and you're representing them in some shape or form. So if you're posting pictures drunk and with beer and doing all this, you know, stuff, it does affect them because you're representing them. So even though they may not really supposedly allow to look at your social media, trust me, they are. And so it goes back to that we are a brand, and a lot of people don't know how to really use social media. They just don't. People really do like seeing pictures of you and your family because, again, they also want to see you beyond your brand. They do want to see what's going on in your personal life. They do want to see the pictures of you and your friends and your family, and they want to see the fun things too. They don't want to just see, you know, book picture and another book picture, you know, like, oh, this is my next book, and this is my next event, and this is my next this, and my next this, and my next that, and, you know, please buy this, and please pitch. They don't want to see all the pitches and all, you know, they want to see a mixture. Yes, a fun pick quote. Yes, yeah, a picture of you and your family. And then, yes, you know, my blog post. And then this and that. However, it's got to be a mixture. It can't just be all sales. It can't be all pictures. And it can't be all, this is what I ate. It really has to be a mixture of things. And you really do need to show your personality. And, yes, of course you want to, you know, talk about what you do as well. the social media is your business. So a lot of it is this, that a lot of people do not know how to use social media properly. And so I call it Straight Talk because it's really about the facts of social media.
And I'm on Carly's website, CarlyAliciaThorne.com. And anyway, it's a very interesting website. I'm cruising through it here, but I'm finding a lot of things. But there's one about that really catches my eye, Living Authentically with Carly Alicia Thorne. Tell people about that and how coaching with you and getting in contact with you actually opens out their authenticity and their passion and purpose at the same time.
Yeah, that actually, I was interviewed by Tanya, and she did an amazing interview. We talked about authenticity, and I think a lot of people, unfortunately, don't really live authentically, and they don't actually talk and don't live their truth. In other words, let's put it this way. We all have a past. A lot of people don't talk about their past or don't tell the truth about their past. And I believe in being authentic and living authentically. So, you know, it's like we all become something from our past. So I believe in saying, hey, okay, this is where I was, this is where I am. And I believe in taking your past and using it as a teaching platform and using those tools to teach others that, hey, if I've been through this, and I can now be where I am now, then you sure as heck can, you know, do better or, you know, more than what I could do. In other words, you know, if I could do it, so can you. In other words, you have to live an authentic life, because if you don't live authentically, then you're constantly in fear and running and hiding, always wondering when the other shoe's going to drop. And the way I look at it is kind of like women are afraid to tell how old they are. Well, why would I want to date someone if they're going to lie about their age? Because the way I look at it, if you're going to lie about your age, what else are you going to lie about? And why would I want to be with someone who's going to be literally going to lie about something so insignificant about their age? If they're going to lie about that, oh, my God, what else are they going to lie about, right? So we have to be willing to be brave enough to be honest about the things that are, you know, anything. It's important to live an authentic life, because that gives us the ability to shine forth, and it also gives us the ability to show our clients that we're authentic. It's like I've worked with a lot of speakers, and I can't tell you how many times where they'll be on stage preaching something, and the minute they get off stage, they're nothing like that. They're completely not that. So it's like, great, sell a bunch of product, put people in debt, because you get these people in these high energy where it's buy, buy, buy. And then I call it shelf help. It goes on the shelf because they're never going to use it. But they bought it because they were in this high energy and desperation because they want that quick fix. And yet the person who is selling it isn't even living that authentic life that they're preaching, right? So we have to be willing to live a really authentic life in order to, you know, be an authentic person. And I'm not saying everyone's perfect. Obviously, we all have inauthentic moments. We all break down. We all have our crises. We all have our pity parties. No one's 100% integrous. No one's 100% authentic, not reality.
And that would be impossible to live also, wouldn't it? At the same time. But I'm also on your conscious business collaborations, Carly. And I'm reading down here, there's a lot of things, but how to be a leader without a title? How are people afraid to be the leader of their own life, do you feel?
I think a lot of it is because I think a lot of people think that if nobody has a title, it would be chaotic. And so I think people feel like they have to have a title. And the reality of it is, if you think about it, if we all are willing to listen to people and collaborate, it's kind of strange. I do a lot of these books with Mitchell Levy. He has a company called Happy About, and he also has a platform called the HaVat. And I prefer if you look at most of my books on Amazon, most of them are co-authored. Why? Because I have to do half the work and someone else does half the work, and guess what? The book is done so much faster. And I do a lot of quote books, and one of our platforms is 140 quotes. Well, guess what? I can bang out 70 quotes in an hour. In half an hour, I'll do 70 of them, go do something else. Like 35 of them, go do something else, take a break, then come back and do another. The point is, if you're collaborating with someone, it's so much more fun because it's like you got someone to banter with, you get the stuff done, they get their stuff done, and it's just so much more fun. And it gets done quicker, and I don't feel like I have all the burden of doing something. And if I do one book myself, it's so much more work, so much more, just so much more pressure. And so, Mitchell and I talk all the time about, collaborating and doing these books where we, finding someone else that you want to co-author with, and they bang out half the quotes, I bang out half the quotes, and we put it together and we find a common theme we want to write about. And obviously a lot of people do them alone too. I prefer collaborating. To me, it's just so much more fun. And also, I get different points of view. I may have a point of view about death and dying. Someone else may have a different point of view about death and dying, or whatever the topic may be. And this way an audience is also, by the way, having two different points of view, and I reach a larger audience as well. You've got to remember, there's auditory, kinesthetic, audio digital, and visual. And so because of my whole platform, I really try and reach all the audiences. I'm all about the multisensory. By working with another person, I'm much more apt to grab a bigger audience by having someone else co-author. Because someone else that's writing is going to be writing things are going to gravitate to someone else that I may not reach. So I think a lot of people are just so afraid to share because they're afraid they're going to lose something somehow. And I feel like it's kind of like the word expert. I feel that there's always going to be someone that knows more than I do, because there's always new technologies, new books coming out, new expertise coming out in that particular arena. So why would I call myself the expert? There's always new stuff coming out. I'm never going to know the end all about something. So why call myself the expert? I am the leading expert in X. Is that really true? No. I can call myself, I'm knowledge in something. I'm experienced in something, but to call myself the number one expert in something is insane. So I think that's what people get wrapped up in the title. They're the number one leading expert in the world in this. That's insanity, because there's always new information coming out. So to call yourself that is, to me, it's not authentic. That is not authenticity.
And I agree with that totally. But I'm also on your webpage, and I'm under your heading there of consulting and coaching programs, and there's one that really caught my eye, and it's The Art of Love, Peace, and Gratitude. And really,
yeah, it's one of my favorites.
And what I'm really looking here is open your heart, create harmony, appreciate others. If you start appreciating others, that takes the forgiveness out of it to you, doesn't it? That does for me, because it gives me a value of the experience of the person. How do you feel about that?
Well, obviously, the love, peace, gratitude piece came for me. It's like I said, I've had 35 surgeries, actually more than that now. I've almost died several times. I'm bionic now. I have 2 new shoulders, 2 new knees. So you really learn. I'm 52 now. I didn't finally get my new life probably until I was 50, because then I also had my new eyes. So the point is, I actually, for the first time, I had cataract surgery when I was 50. So I got my new limbs when I was 48. I got new shoulders and 50. I got new knees, and then in 48, I got new knees, 49, I got new shoulders, and 50, I got new, my cataracts were finally removed. Well, I'm sorry. But anyways, I saw for the first time. I've had glasses since I was 3 years old. And I can't begin to tell you, when they took the films off my eyes, I've never not had glasses, like I said, since I was 3 years old. Well, when they took the cataracts off my eyes, I never knew it was not like to not see blurry, even with glasses. So I literally saw the world for the first time without without a blur. It was like, I can't begin to tell you. I literally could see without glasses and without a film. I mean, so it's, I don't know if you talk to people. I've worked for hospice and I've had experiences with people transitioning. When you dealt with people like that and people who have terminal illnesses or have gotten cancer and those types of things, when you talk to those types of people, then you can understand what true gratitude is or what that feeling is like to understand gratitude. It's having that experience of really having phenomenal loss to understand what that love, peace, gratitude, peace is. When you really, really lose something, and then all of a sudden you have the experience of, coming back. It's just really amazing because you understand real losses, and then all of a sudden something, you have this experience, and you're like, oh my God, like I really see for the first time, or I really, I have this gratitude of, oh my God, this is what the world really looks like. I finally can really see, or I can finally really walk, or I can, and also like letting go of grudges and of hate and of, pain or whatever those things are, or, if someone's been through rape or, abuse or anything like that, I grew up with that. It's like really letting go of those things and not hating people or, just being able to really live. I mean, those are really impactful moments for people, and that they can, not hate people and let go. And it's not about, all of a sudden you're saved or, anything like that. It's just really having the gratitude of having been through something and realizing that it's made you into something stronger and, better. And that you now have the opportunity of helping other people.
And also at the very bottom, I love this one, how to use NLP on stage and in the event setup. How is NLP used in the world, Carly, and people don't even know it's being used on them through the media and stuff like that?
Oh my God, it's used all the time in media. It drives me crazy. I'll give you a perfect example. Social media. How many times have you gone onto a squeeze page? You know what a squeeze page is, right? So if you're going to buy something, if you're on a website and you're going to buy something, right, and the page just scrolls and scrolls and scrolls, and then every once in a while you see red ink, and it's the buy button, and then, stop here and buy. Well, okay, red is stop, right? How many times did you see a stop sign when you were a kid? What color is it?
It's red.
What color is stop? Right. Okay, so NLP is neurolinguistic. It's an unconscious thing. So when you were a kid, mama did what when you saw a stop sign? What did your mother do?
She'd stop.
And she'd grab your hand, right? Stop, look both ways. Stop, look both ways. So most squeeze page is a website, like it scrolls and scrolls and scrolls, information, give you, tons and tons of information why you need to buy the product. It's usually verbal, and then it has text and videos and all this stuff. But anytime it comes to where they want you to buy, it's red. Stop. 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 It's always red. So, so everything's unconscious, right? Stop. Is red, stop, red, stop. So it's amazing if you look at, marketing, they use colors that are unconsciously, and unconscious. And normally if we see red, we stop. So there's tons of marketing color, commercials, unconscious marketing, and the colors of text is crazy. That I teach a lot about colors and marketing and what colors and text and size and all that crazy stuff. But, yeah, you can set up a whole room how the seats are, what angles they are, to get people to actually conform to what you want, just by seating arrangements and colors and sounds and smells and all that stuff.
And that is something that NLP is really something. But I'm also on your webpage, on your website, at The Art of Letting Go and Truly Celebrating Life, the five stages of mourning, letting go, and reclaiming your power in any area of life. How are we afraid to let go of something, Alisa, Carly, and really move it forward and expand into the new? How are we afraid of that? Because we was taught that the new was a scary place.
Well, a lot of it is, you have to understand too, is recalling something for a lot of people can be extremely traumatic. And most people don't know how to deal with people that have post-traumatic stress disorder, and walking them through it or giving them the tools to deal with it. It just depends on what the person went through and if they really do have post-traumatic stress disorder or if it just was someone passed away. You really have to know. Most of the problem is that most people don't do the proper intake, or as I would say, interview with someone to find out what really happened. Is it, you know, if someone just passed away, that's one thing. And just because someone passed away, you kind of need to know what the person grew up with. In other words, if someone grew up with any sort of abuse, like massive sexual, verbal, physical abuse, and someone passed away, their process of mourning is going to be very, very different than someone who didn't go through that. See, most people don't know that. So if you're someone that's been through a lot of abuse and someone passed away, your process is going to be very different than someone who hasn't gone through that. And so most people don't take that into account. It's very interesting how most people don't do the proper intake. They don't do the proper interviews with people. They just counsel people, and they don't really do any of the proper intake. And you have to know what someone's been through. You can't just go, okay, you know, someone passed away. Okay, great. Let me take them through the five stages of grief. And not only that, you know, everyone's five stages of grief doesn't necessarily go in, you know, the five stages in order. It goes very differently for everybody, and some people don't go through all five stages. You know, they go, it just, everyone's different. However, you have to know what people have been through before you just kind of, you know, it's just very different for everybody depending on what they've been through.
Yeah, and that is the biggest thing, is you got to make it very personal for that person, so they feel comfortable in getting to the hidden issue that really will expand them. Do you feel that?
Exactly, yeah. It's like we have a society where it drives me crazy, where we have, you know, like, for example, like diets, which I also hate the word diet. We have this cookie-cutter mold. Here's the diet, and follow it, and you'll lose weight. Well, it doesn't kind of work that way. And the words we use are so detrimental. It's kind of like, why would you want to lose weight? What happens when you lose your keys? What's the first thing you want to do? If you lose your keys, what do you instinctively want to do?
You want to go to find them and get,
right.
First of all,
so,
you get frustrated.
Right. Well, okay,
and then,
so you just
then,
said
then
the
you
magic
want to start
word.
Looking for them.
Right. So why would you want to find weight? It's kind of like, we use these words. Diet, first of all, is restrictive, and you just said the magic words. You want to find them. So why would you want to lose weight? You want to find the weight back? No. It's like, we need words like lifestyle change. You know, it's all about a new lifestyle. It's about releasing the weight. It's about releasing, because that's what it is. Weight is all emotions. It's all stuff we put on. That's all the stuff that we've been holding on to. So it's about releasing. It's not wanting to go find the weight again. It's about releasing. It's about a new lifestyle. It's about life choice. And so all the words we put around diets, it's craziness. So it's like, I go crazy with the words we use around things that are supposed to be healthy, when we put all these horrible words around them. And then again, if you study neurolinguistics and words and communication, all those words can just literally it's counterintuitive. They're not helpful to help you release anything. They're actually more restrictive, which makes you more nerve-wracked, so you don't actually release anything. You just actually makes it worse. It's craziness.
It really does. But, you know, something I've really looked back at, Carly, and I really understand now, through English class, we have been taught limitation by the words we use.
Yep.
We thought we was doing everything properly. And that's the thing. But I want to get to this one other thing you have on your website, CarlyAlisaThorne.com, production, acting, hosting, producing, and directing. And you get to see how beautiful Carly is here. But that one really catches my eye. So you not only can coach people, but you can also show them how to do the acting and expand their life into many other things, is what I feel and see here. Am I on the right path there?
Yeah, well, you know, kind of, I grew up with massive sexual, verbal, physical abuse, and the acting and the singing and all the other stuff was my way of, people call me the chameleon. I took all these different people, like me's, chameleon. I kind of channeled all the stuff that I went through into being all these different characters, if you will. I spent all my life behind the camera in some shape or form, whether I was singing or dancing or just being all these different characters. And I did all different types of modeling and fitness. I was always doing fitness of some kind and just channeling it into all these different areas. And part of my consulting, all that consulting I was doing, was on sets. When I was working with speakers, I was on sets. I was helping them, teaching them how to speak on stage, whether it be I've interviewed over 500 speakers. It's long story. 25 years of my life has been behind the camera, in front of the camera, in some shape or form, producing, directing, interviewing. I was either being interviewed, I was interviewing speakers, and I was working in production. So I was producing, directing, I was doing makeup, I was doing wardrobe, I was doing, some shape of production in some shape or form. I was producing events, setting up events, speaker events, just doing, some shape of production, but I was always also consulting on color and production and all that stuff. So it all tied in together, and I was always doing organization. So I was organizing events, so I was setting up events. So it was, it was all intertwined.
And Carly, Carly, we're out of time. Give people all your address, the way to get a hold of you besides your website, or if that's all you want to give, so everybody gets it right, and I'll close out the show.
Sure. I can reach at Carly, CarlyAthorne, @gmail.com. And, of course, my website, Carly, CarlyAlisaThorne.com. And the best way is my email, CarlyAthorne@gmail.com. And it's been a joy being with you. I thank you so much. And I wish everyone a beautiful, wonderful holiday. Blessings to all.
And thank you, Carly, and I will say good night, and I'll wish you and everybody a very Merry Christmas and a very prosperous New Year and a very excellent 2017.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Good night.